I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you now? Broadcasting from the studios of Milsons Point in, where are we? Karamaragal country. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast, Season 8, Episode 6. Remember, if it's talked about enough, it's a thing. Three stats in that one. This show is brought to you by Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. If you need access to any mutual fund in the world, go to amfex.com, A-M-F-E-X.com. Reminder, all the advice contained in this show and all shows is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. I am James Whelan. I'm an advisor at VFS Group. I am a white male, age 42. Hey, birthday time. I'm wearing a blue polo and white slacks, I suppose. What do you call these? Khakis. I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very well. A little bit dusty, got a sore throat. But other than that, pretty good. And I hope you had a great birthday last weekend.
I did actually. It was actually fairly tame. It wasn't amazing, but I'll tell you what wasn't tame last night. This hangover, proudly brought to you by GlobalX, the 20th anniversary of their gold ETF, GOLD. We'll talk about gold in just a moment, but yeah, they put on a bender last night, and it was an absolute barn burner of a shindig, old school, at the Mint over at Sydney, and it was good. Lots of advisors and people who have supported the product and supported GlobalX for so long. Well done to Natalie on an amazingly organized event, and the people that did it over there, and they were good. They had models in gold paint as statues, you know, human statues.
Yep.
Yeah. Like not naked, like they were dressed. Yeah.
Like the guys you see.
A bit of class here, right? Yeah.
Performing in the malls and stuff like that, you know.
Covering gold paint.
Yeah, the temperature was about still.
Yeah, it was 11 degrees last night. I did speak to them as I was leaving. They were taking a break in the break room. I said, "How are you going?" And they said, "Yeah, it's not too bad." I said, "Come on, be honest." And it's like it's a bit chilly out there, James. They didn't know. And I said, "Are you getting paid?" They're like, "Yeah, we're getting paid."
Yeah, Arctic here in Adelaide at the moment too.
Yeah, sensational work. Anyway, no, it's actually a really, really nice day here in Sydney, and I'm going to get this done because I reckon I'm probably going to get to lunch fairly quickly. I've got a couple of clients who just want to have a get-together, and there's not a lot to do. I think that we're going to be exiting a few things tonight. Don't want to say what they are. We're actually doing a little bit of a portfolio rejig, something that's just not working. And if it's not working, the narrative has changed, there's no reason to hold this thing anymore. It's got to go. Yep. But as opposed to the other rule, which is that if nothing has changed and it's gone lower, stay the course. It's the only difference is the price, or you just don't know what's going on, which is more often the case.
Yeah. It's normally the latter.
So I'm just super 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 fuzzy today, as you can see, because I don't even know what time of day it is. But so that's how that's going. Now coming up today. Oh, was it? It's 10:10. On the 19th of May, 2023. We got debt ceilings, US earnings, general market indecisiveness, and I need to come up with a dodgy footy tip really quickly. So, look, Heath, I'm going to throw to you. Talk for a short amount of time about debt ceilings. I'll pretend to listen while I'm looking at footy tips, okay? Are you good with that?
Yeah, no worries.
3, 2, 1, go.
Look, I think that the markets are becoming a little bit excited and prematurely excited about these debt ceiling agreements that they think are going to happen maybe as early as next week. I don't think I've ever seen the first vote ever go through straight away. Look, we have no doubt that there will be an agreement, most likely in the 11th hour. The US will not default, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But the markets, you know, if we're speaking a couple of days ago, then, you know, we'd be probably talking more about indecisiveness of markets, and it's just like muddling through. Last two nights I've seen the S&P 500. It looks technically, it looks really, really bullish. But to me, the rally is all predicated on, you know, top six stocks. You look at Microsoft, Apple, Google, Amazon, etc. Their charts are, you know, all you know, rocket emojis all over the place. And that's what's really holding the index up. If you look anything below it, like Walmart brought their earnings out the other night. Was it last night? Sorry. And they were really, really strong earnings. Some great commentary actually upgraded their full year outlook. And the stock bounced and then gave it all back. So unless you're in tech with some AI narrative behind you, it's really not much is happening. And this debt ceiling, I think, has got everyone a little bit excited that, you know, we're going to get past this reasonably quickly. I think there's going to be some to and fro for the next couple of weeks before anything gets done. And that could see some volatility head back into the markets, especially, you know, the US dollars started to rally again. And by my terms, it's breaking out, which is obviously negative for commodities.
Gold.
So, yeah, gold.
I am listening. So,
yeah. So, I'm good. At least someone is.
Just barely. Keep going. Hang on.
I'm of the opinion that like I said, technically the S&P 500 looks like it's going to break out. I think it's going to be a failed breakout if it does, and we're going to come back and see maybe that 3,900 level on the S&P 500 over the next few weeks or month as things play out.
Okay. In my case, I think that the market has already seen through it, and the market will continue to see through it.
Okay.
It's done. I wasn't rude to Andrew from Ausbiz when I did Ausbiz on Wednesday afternoon, and he engaged me with it, which I'm assuming that every single person who comes onto Ausbiz has been asked for it off, like, debt ceiling, what do you think? I was just like, 93 times in a row it's been raised.
Yeah.
When's it? It's a thing. This is the name of the podcast. Okay. It has been done. It will be done. And if it doesn't get done, it just gets done the next day or the next day.
Yeah. Right? And we saw with Trump, the Trump administration, last time it went past the due date, they shut down social services, ran at skeleton staff, stopped paying certain social security checks, et cetera, until it was done, which was, I think, it was 4 or 5 weeks later. So it would be the same playbook. They will not default on their debt. There is, I mean, I was listening to Westy in a Twitter Spaces the other day. He was putting it at 3 to 4% chance of a default. I don't even think it's that high. I'd say it'd be sub 1%.
Okay. Yeah, the Morgan Stanley podcast this morning, which I was listening to on my run, I can't believe I still managed to make a run with minimal sleep that I had. They were talking about that it's difficult to value a binary event like this, where, you know, it happens or it doesn't happen. How do you actually price that? And this is, you know, chief head of strategy or something at Morgan Stanley. I think it was Andrew Schiff. Just talking about that, I was just like, yeah, it's true. It is difficult to price a binary event. It happens or it doesn't. But I think that you can just go, you know what? If it doesn't happen, the market will probably just see through it anyway. But I know that someone's going to say, oh, but the default and, oh, this in the US dollar and others. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. You always have those skies falling people that, you know, US is running at 150% GDP, et cetera. The system is broken.
All right.
Everything is broken. And,
all right. Question. Should they mint the coin? I love the idea of minting the coin. Just for bleeps and giggles, man.
Oh, why not?
$1 trillion platinum coin. Book it. Just do it, man. I don't know. And then find out what happens after that.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you remember, a Simpsons episode where they actually minted a trillion dollar note. Yes. And Homer was running around in Miss Burns' mansion looking for it. You know, you're here, trilly. it reminds me of that a little bit. And, hey, if it happens, that's another thing the Simpsons
predicted. It's another Simpsons thing. That's right. Yeah. That is spot on. Okay, so. And the main question is, they don't know if it would cause inflation or not. For anyone who's not up to speed with it, that the executive or the Treasury has written into the Constitution, that they're actually legislated that they can print money, obviously, and they can, at their discretion, make coins, which they would use, but also this coin that they wouldn't use, they would print one coin, value it at $1 trillion, keep it in the safe, I'd hope, or Mr. Burns' house. And that would be done.
Yep.
And then you would be able to that would then back the balance sheet or whatever. You know, the bond guys can tell me exactly how it would work after that. but it would then mean that they can continue to do what they do.
What it is, QT is quantitative tightening, because they will be, regardless if they mint a coin or not, they will be issuing close to $1 trillion worth of bonds come later this year once this is all said and done.
Yep.
Which drags, it forces these primary dealers to go in and buy these bonds, which takes out, possible credit it could be issuing into the market otherwise. And so it's drawing, credit out of the market or possible credit out of the market.
Yeah, okay. That's good enough. Right, what's next? I haven't read your note yet. I've been busy. I've been working. I've got a client that is, it's a complex client, and we need to do our jobs, and we need to do our jobs really well. This is a particularly complex client with a presentation of portfolio switch that has taken up a big portion of my time. Anyone who thinks that this job of retail advice is easy, come and do it. It's not. So this is just that's taken up a lot of my time. So I'm sorry I haven't read your note, Heath.
That's okay. I mean, I don't think rolling in at 3 a.m. from a Global X event is really really doing it. But
I was done. I done. For the record, I actually went back to the office and worked until about 11 o'clock, and then caught up with the Global X guys the next part of the event.
Beautiful.
So I was at the event, went to the office like I worked for Merrill Lynch or some stupid thing, like an American bank, and then I went back out again. Why? Because I'm an idiot.
It's not something I can do with three very young children at home. So
yeah, you got to teach these kids how it works sometimes, mate. Out with the and one of the guys, out with the boys, in with the men. That's a bit sexist now, I suppose. Yep. But actually, it's come in, book it, still get it done the next morning. Still got the jobs to do. It's all okay. Lunchtime, different story though. Mate, yeah, okay, what's next? What's the note?
So my note covered a bit of debt ceiling. Went into a small part because, generally most of the US earnings is over. We did have Home Depot come out this week, which is interesting because I'm following the construction sector over there closely, because generally when recession starts, the jobs, they lead it with in terms of jobs losses.
Yeah.
So we saw Home Depot come out with their earnings. I think they beat on the actual earnings, but missed on revenue. Their their outlook was fairly dour and negative. They expect earnings to fall between 7% and 13%. A lot of deflation around the place, especially in lumber. And then we also had James Hardy here locally on the ASX come out and talk about the US construction industry, and they're saying they expect the construction at their addressable construction market to fall between 14 and 19% this year. So that is substantial. And given that the construction industry has been on fire for the better part of 2 years and probably overhired, we're going to see, I think, substantial losses there in the next few months. And that's going to lead to a weaker jobs report. And this is where, it all starts unraveling and, the recession starts, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And I'm trying to find what her name is, but I know it's Claire Connolly on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't create it, but she reposted something off TikTok. She is a genius, the lady that she reposted, talking about the conversation where we need more people unemployed. What? That's bad for the economy. No, it's what we want, but that's bad for the economy. And it's this amazing thing, just sort of going around in circles, just describing exactly, okay, so we want more people unemployed. Right. Why? Otherwise I'll earn more, but earning more is great, but spending more. But spending more is great. It's great for the economy. No, we don't want that. So we want more people unemployed. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this, Heath?
We need those peaks and troughs. You can't have everyone earning earnings going up continuously, because they'll keep on increasing their spending continuously, which leads to inflation and higher rates. Yeah. And eventually something a lot worse will come along, a lot worse than a GFC, because, people's earnings and company profits and that are not infinite. There has to be these peaks and troughs, which we really haven't had in the last 10 years, decade, as if you exclude COVID, because I think
we have been funding really stupidity.
It's
funding stupidity, and I don't forget. And everyone should write this, laminate it, put it on the wall, and just it's been the thing that I've been repeating for the last couple of months. That Jay Powell, towards the end of last year, is what he said. It's easier for me to fix something that we break doing this than it is for us to continue to perpetuate this cycle of low interest rate stupidity. And it's like, okay, at least you know where they're going. They will fix it. It will be fine. I just hate the idea of just like we need more people to be unemployed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. We need more people to be unemployed so that we can keep inflation down so that people can buy food affordably.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not even food. It's not even food and fuel. Because remember, and then in the video, it cut to Elizabeth Warren, God bless her socks, Elizabeth Warren asking Powell at a Senate hearing, will your rate hikes lower the price of food? Jay Powell, no. Will your rate hikes lower the price of fuel? Probably not. What are we doing there? Anyway, maybe just another coffee.
It will and it won't. I mean, indirectly, it will soften demand, and that means less people are traveling, less people are demanding goods, and we've already seen it with the logistics companies over in the US and reporting much lower volumes. That means they need less fuel, which puts downward pressure on energy eventually. But it takes time to work through the system.
And then OPEC decides to cut by a million barrels a day. And negates the entire thing. I'm sorry.
But where is oil now? They announced their 2 million cut a couple of months ago or a month ago, and it's back where it started because the demand isn't there. That's why they cut. It is so soft. The demand isn't there.
Yeah, that's very annoying.
The reason they cut.
Yeah, what's happened? I mean, okay, on this subject, yeah, I think that we've had the best that we could possibly have out of China until the next stage. We're now heading into the next stage. For China as being the global growth engine of the world, although I'm backing India as being the new thing, but we're now at the next stage where people have sort of lost the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Faith in China. What happens next? Everything turns around for China. They do this forced, they ramp everything so hard, and that's going to be the next thing that happens with China. Just watch.
I also think people expect it to be linear and a straight line up in terms of what happens over there, and it won't. It'll be lumpy, like we saw. Although we got China data at the start of the week, and you know it missed expectations on most of it. But you know, you're talking, you know, retail sales were still up 18% versus the 21 or 22% they're expecting. And you know, it's not like it's bad data. They are recovering well. It's just they missed it. And I think the second half of the year for China will be where it's about, where more of their credit growth, their M2 money supply spills out through into the economy, construction projects start up again, et cetera, et cetera.
Did they didn't cut interest rates?
No, I think it was left at 2.75.
They left it, yeah. But I think that it was speculated at the beginning of the week that they were thinking that it was a potential, and I think it's still on the table. It's so funny that they're at that part of the cycle. And we're still debating if we're going to go another one or two.
Well, are they simply leading us? I mean, they were raising rates, you know, in COVID when we were cutting, and now they're cutting, and we're, you know, still tightening somewhat. Are we going to start cutting towards the end of the year and start of next year?
Yeah, isn't it great to have wiggle room when you get rates to a level of normality? You can actually move somewhere, which is fantastic when something happens and trying to actually stimulate growth. I saw a headline, and this goes against it. So in private conversations with Gareth Aird, CBA senior economist and absolute genius, I mentioned, it's just like sometimes I say things that are a little bit inflammatory on the chat, and people know that about me. It's just like, in my view, in my view, people, the interest rate hikes are not fair. Not fair. I'm trying to find a way to say it. The interest rate hikes don't hit the people that they need to hit. It doesn't hit everyone. So in that, anyone who's over 65 has already paid off their home or doesn't have that much debt is loving it.
Yeah, but those people, the retirees, are net savers.
They're net savers, right? They're fantastic. Yes. Great.
So it's they're not really contributing to the inflation problem anyway.
Ah, that's a very good point. They are taking up all the No, what are you talking about?
They're
travel,
they're,
dining.
Yeah, but the overall, their spending is they're net savers. They're not spenders. They're not going out into credit markets and.
Have you met anyone over the age of 65, Heath?
Yes, I know what you're saying, but overall, if you look at the spending demographics, people who are retired over 65 are net savers.
Tell that to my parents. You've got to be kidding me. Get out of here.
You're talking about anecdotal. Sorry, I can't even say the word.
That's
you're
the best. Anecdotally?
Small portions. But overall, you can remember, the low and middle income of Australia fuel the economy.
Heath.
Overall, they're net savers.
Yeah, okay.
These are the people that won't turn on their air cons or during summer and won't put their heaters on during winter because they don't want to spend money. And I mean, personally, I know a lot of very wealthy retirees as clients, and they are tight. They are very tight with their money.
Yeah, they are very thrifty. Older people, I found, and
it's you and I.
My generation.
It's you and I. We are the new boomers. Our generation are the new boomers that are going to be the big spenders.
Yeah, we are the big spenders.
We are the big discretionary spenders.
Oh, yeah, eight butterscotch schnapps next to the pool at Ivy at 2 o'clock this morning.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Phil Lowe is going to come and give me a stern talking to.
You're fueling inflation, James. You're the problem. I was asleep. I was doing my part and not spending, and I was asleep.
Yeah, bedtime's at 7:30 in Adelaide. I think it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's when they shut the power down.
gold is looking really dusty, mate. And if we go back to last week. Speaking of gold, GOLD, which is a great ETF. I'm not saying whether you should buy it or not, but remember last week I did post what happens and what doesn't happen. What was the week before? What happens and what doesn't happen when the Fed stops?
Yep.
And one of those things is get out of gold.
Yep.
Gold comes off because the US dollar usually goes up.
Yeah, and it was the one thing I sort of half pushed back on and obviously wrong so far, although technically on the charts I still don't think it's dead just yet.
It's not dead. No, we didn't say it was dead. It's close. In a couple of months it's going to be a really good buy.
Yes, and I did say though if the US dollar continues to strengthen and yields go up, then gold will go the other way. And lo and behold, that's what's happened.
There it is. And commodities too, annoyingly. Really, really pain in the ass.
Copper's looking not so great, unfortunately. But again, I think it's the second half of the year story.
My friend, China. Put your shekels to the side and get ready to buy the crap out of copper. That's as sure as God wears sandals. It's a done deal. It's a guarantee. Put it in the bank.
And Chile wrote into law this week the new taxes on
Chile
copper production.
Yep.
And they control them in Peru control 40% of the world's copper production. So that's another headwind for copper. And we've seen the production numbers out of Chile this year, and they've missed last year's targets, and last year's targets were down on the year before's targets. So, production-wise, we can't get enough of it. It's going to be the hindrance to us going green is we can't get enough copper.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm not going to say this story again. Okay, now, here's a new thing I'm doing. Over the week, I cut and paste crap off Twitter and I put it into a shared document that you and I have both got access to, Heath. And the first one that I've got here, I'm just going to read out what they are. And you just give a quick comment on it, okay?
Okay.
This is from ANZ Research, and g'day to Adelaide Timbrell if she's listening. I know she's a big fan of the show. ANZ Roy Morgan Australian Consumer Confidence fell 1.8 points. When was this? A couple of days ago. Fell 1.8 points. Consumer confidence fell 1.8 points to its weakest since April 2020. Wow, what happened then? Sitting below 80. I can remember that. Sitting below 80 for an 11th straight week. Notably, current financial conditions fell to its lowest on record since 2001. Comment. Australian consumer confidence is but ruckus. That doesn't
I mean, the consumer confidence side of things, I mean, that was falling even though we were staying home and we're all cashed up and even coming out of that, that was still falling. It was a bit of an anomaly there. But generally, consumer confidence is correlated with consumer spending, and obviously we're going to see that soften. Just a small company on the ASX, Best and Less, came out with their trading update this week, and they've substantially cut their profit forecast on the back of lower spending. And they target their demographics are the you know, the lower income demographic, I think, of Australia. So things are getting tight there, and that will soon flow up to middle income, etc. So and conditions, economic conditions. I mean, you raise rates, economic conditions deteriorate. It's as simple as that.
All right. Next one is from Eddie Elfenbein on Twitter on the 16th of May, so a couple of days ago. For the 28th time in the last 31 days, the S&P 500 has closed within 1% of 4,130. And this goes into the last part of what we're going to talk about, the market indecisiveness. It just, until until last night, it just didn't really know which way it was going to be going.
No. It feels like it's wanting something to push it either way, and I think we need more to push it to the upside than we do to the downside, although, you know, technically the charts are looking fantastic for the S&P 500.
I mean, I'm happy to hold, happy to be there, happy to do the whole thing. I wanted to remember going into May, I did want to sort of shed off a little bit of that big tech.
Mm-hmm.
Google has now joined the party. Hurrah. My entire buy thesis for Google was predicated on, wow, that's a big word for Friday, was predicated on that they will win eventually the AI race. They will win the AI war. And I lost the faith because of everything that was going on, and now Bard is out and it has blown everyone out of the water.
Yeah, and the tech heads I listen to are all saying, we're using Bard, we're not using ChatGPT, because it's simply better.
Yeah, and I've always known it was better. I've always known that Google's AI was better. They rushed that Bard thing out before and it looked bad and they looked like they had their pants pulled down. And now, bang, they're back in action and the Google is fantastic. Look, I just wanted to thin out some of that big tech going into May.
Yeah, and I think it's wise to keep knowing that, considering where these, you know, a lot of these big techs are up in a straight line.
Yeah, and just go long bonds, just add to your bond exposure. At these prices? Yeah. Okay, last one here. And the NASDAQ, this is from Bespoke Invest. The NASDAQ is outperforming the Dow this year by an entire bull market.
Yep.
I'm going to try and understand exactly what that means. Hang on.
Again, so 20%, I think. That would be a 20% outperformance.
Oh, fruitcakes.
Yeah.
That's So, the average bull market is X.
Yep.
Performance spread of NASDAQ versus the Dow Jones. Year to date through to that from 1970. Yeah, okay. The average bull market is actually the difference between the NASDAQ and the Dow.
Yeah. And again,
things will revert.
It's that AI narrative that is pushing these stocks.
Yeah.
And it's six stocks doing the lifting. If you look at behind that, I mean, the S&P 500, the forward earnings on S&P 500, it's about 18 times. You remove tech from that and it comes down to 16.5. So there is substantial multiples expansion happening in these big six tech stocks that is, you know, pushing these indexes around. So you look below the surface to find out what's really happening with everything else.
Yeah.
Like I said, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I can see a case over the next few weeks where that cools substantially.
Okay. Now moving along. Have you got any trades this week? I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I'm still a buyer of India. I'm still a buyer of data centers. That's it.
I think I sent it to you in our chat group about Commonwealth Bank.
Oh, CBA.
Commonwealth Bank. Yeah, yeah. The last two times, pre-earnings, the couple of months before pre-earnings, it's rallied 17% and 11%.
When is it reporting?
It will be August. So we're getting really close to that that 2 month period.
I live my life one trading one session at a time.
So
August is 1,000 years away. Go on.
I'm looking to buy above 101 with a breakout, and you know, maybe put a stop under at 95. Of course, this is general advice. Go seek
blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
advisor, yeah, professional.
Exactly. I may put a, and you know, I hate you. You hate when I do this. Newcrest, and you bought Newcrest, and I was just like, I'm going to sell a put spread.
Yeah.
And it was great. The amazing profits that we've made, that I made for clients selling those put spreads, but should have bought Newcrest outright, actually, now I think about it. But anyway, you can't win them all.
No.
I'll put a put spread together for CBA. Chunky premiums, just book it and just keep it in the tank. It's okay.
Yep.
Sold put spread. Yeah, that'll go all right. That'll go nicely. I'll find some prices. I'll get some legs for you. Okay. Now, footy nice. Tips. What do you got? Now, we made some money last week.
You got one right, did you?
Mate, even a blind squirrel finds a acorn in the
whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Mate, yeah, had a real winner last week. You did as well. Mm-hmm. Frio just managed to get away with it against the Swans. What is going on with the boys?
It's that grand final curse. I think I looked at
the last few grand finals.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like six of the last eight grand finals. The loser has gone on to miss the finals next year or something along those lines.
That ends up being in the eight.
Yeah.
That ends up being the eight.
They got a few injuries, et cetera, so. But this week, I thought I'd step it up a little bit because
we've been going, here we go.
Been going just, you know, the simple lines and, you know, about $1.90, $2 they're paying, you know, double your money.
Yep.
You can't be too unhappy with that. But I thought I'd go Gold Coast at the line versus Brisbane at 24.5. They've impressed me this year or the last 4 or 5 weeks.
The Suns have turned it on a little bit this year too.
They took it right up to the Demons up in the Gold Coast recently.
In front of a crowd of 50.
Yeah, something like that. And so Gold Coast at the line into the Pies at the line versus Carlton. I think the Pies line is -15.5. I think they'll win by 4 or 5 goals. That's paying about 360. Take them in single bets, I think. But the multi, I think, is quite attractive.
Okay. Now I've got a bit of a spesh, and this is a little bit of rough, but a little bit rough stuff. If you can get the Tigers with more than a try against the Cowboys, I think they're playing down at Leichhardt. Cowboys have got a rough. Cowboys have got a rough chop down at Leichhardt. Last time I was at Leichhardt a few months ago, beginning of the season. The Tigers just decided not to turn up against the Knights. I don't even follow them. I was just given tickets by a mate of mine from what's that shop called? Barclay Pierce. They have sponsors in the Premier's Lounge or whatever at the thing. I sat next to. Who's that grumpy guy who's head of sports, head of the IOC?
I have no idea.
Frankiest man, Coates, John Coates. I sat next to him in the stand. I actually sat two from him. I sat next to his wife or person, partner. She's lovely. He is the crankiest man on the planet, John Coates. Everyone knows this, so that's not new stuff. Anyway, and they decided not to show up against Newcastle. They're back at Leichhardt this week. I think that they will be able to come close. So if you can get them with 6.5, take it. Take the money down there. I think they've only been given 3.5, so you've got to pick your own start. Put that, you know what, just take that. I'm not going to push it too far on this one, okay? But I think that the Tigers just might have enough. Might have enough. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they might just have enough at Leichhardt. That's what I got.
No worries.
On that
Sounds
note,
good.
That's the show, my friend. Look, you've been great, mate. Appreciate the hell out of you. Thanks for joining us.
Same.
Last bids, last calls. What do you got?
I'm done.
Good. That's the show. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'll catch you next week. If you've got any questions or comments or feedback, please let me know. And that's it for the show. Thanks, Heath.
Have a good one, everyone, and look after yourselves.
Mark well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.